Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wondering what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
We need our own comic book. We're the dynamic duo. And if we are, I want a wrestling belt. Good morning, Stu. How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday morning of the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu? That's me. That's you.
Yeah.
What it do, Stu?
So, how's your week, buddy?
Pretty good. Fought a little cold, but I'm mostly over it. Just every now and then, I got to clear my throat 30,000 or 40,000 times.
Yeah, I got out in the weather yesterday. Went to the brunch fest at Cathedral Square. Saw a lot of friends of mine, some I hadn't seen in a long time, and we had a great time. And it was beautiful. But I kept feeling, you know, the acorns everywhere, and so it's got to be putting some kind of pollen off or something.
Oh well, you got ragweed right now.
Yeah, ragweed, and I could feel it last night and this morning when I woke up, and I started to call in sick, but then I got up and got some. Took a hot shower, and I feel a lot better now.
Sobered up, huh?
No, I didn't say. I did go to bed.
Sobered up your snot locker.
I did go to bed at 1:30 because of the game. It was just too excited to go to sleep. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, what's it like to enjoy college football? Because it's been about 5 years for me. I haven't really enjoyed it since 2019.
Well, y'all stays coming again.
Well, yeah, probably about another 5 or 10 years.
Well, let's see. I heard that Gruden's probably like to get back into college football. I thought y'all were going to get Lane Kiffin. I thought.
Glad we didn't.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I was looking at pictures of friends of mine that were at the Bama Georgia game and the tailgating pictures. Man, some of my friends that were tailgating. They had some really. One guy, he'd been up since 3:30 with his smoker there on the big field there.
Yeah, yeah. Getting that brisket done.
Getting that just pulled pork. But yeah. I saw some pictures of brisket, and that's a great. Great feeling to, and it's a great experience to go to when they're on the quad or whatever, and
college game.
And I still want to go. I still want to go to an Ole Miss game, and I want to walk through there.
I've been. It's awesome.
Yeah, Brandon used to go, and you get the mint juleps and the bull peanuts,
and everybody's wearing tuxedos and ball gowns with tennis shoes because the ground's always muddy.
Yeah,
they've got fold up tables, you know, and folding chairs with 100-year-old linen tablecloths on it and 150-year-old silverware.
They belong to their great. Yeah.
And chandeliers hanging from the tent.
Isn't that cool?
It is really a neat experience. It's the best tailgating experience in the country, according to experts. I have been to a number of different stadiums on different levels of college. It's the best that I've ever seen.
Well, I've been invited to go up to an Auburn game.
Also a great experience.
And my friend Ed Miller, he does the Auburn commercial, you know, it's got Tim Cook in it and a bunch of old alumni from Auburn. That was his commercial he put together. And we had lunch last Sunday together, but he's invited me to come up, if nothing else, for the tailgate experience.
And go by the Raptor Center, man, and watch them work with a lot of people that don't know about the whole eagle soaring thing. Just think that they caught an eagle in captivity. The Cal fans were giving us all kinds of stuff saying, I can't believe you went and captured an eagle just to fly around your stadium. We're like, No, actually, Auburn has the preeminent Raptor Recovery Center.
Yeah.
And that's where they come from. And when they are finally healthy enough, we release them back into the wild. But sometimes it takes years.
I went to, every time when I was in a wine business, I'd go to Atlanta a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, if I didn't do it on the way up, I did it on the way back.
Right.
I always pulled over in Auburn and went to the Raptor cage.
Yeah,
in front of the stadium, it just sat there in awe. But when I was a Boy Scout, I used to do volunteer work out at the Environmental Protection Center.
Right.
And they had a
Greelot.
Yeah,
not Greelot.
Gerby.
Yeah, I knew it started with a G.
Right, and they had a big enclosure too of the eagles.
Right,
and some of them had no wings. You know, some of them had no wings, and there was one. Always one messing one at least one wing, or a talon was gone or something because they got caught in a cage or something,
or something hit by a truck.
Yeah, and I'd go in there and collect.
Or, honestly, windmills.
Yeah.
These wind turbines. Kill hundreds of endangered raptors and daily.
Yeah, and by the way, it's against the law to kill those things.
Yeah,
I would go in there and collect the feathers. Mm-hmm. And then turn them over to the
scouts.
To the center.
Oh, okay.
But this is Boy Scouts doing this.
Yeah.
And we go clean out their cage and clean it up, straighten it up, and make sure all the
depoop them.
And make sure the little big limbs and things that they could perch on were in good shape and nothing in there to harm them. But yeah, you have to pick those feathers up and hand them to the Environmental Center, and they forward them for wherever they're going to forward them.
I think there is a bit of a black market for that kind of stuff too. So possession of them may be something that'll get you fined by the federal government.
Oh yeah, it will.
Yeah. Well, the tailgating scene is part of what makes college football special. There are a few pro stadiums where you can get into. Oddly enough, New Orleans is not one of them because the whole Superdome thing, there's just no tailgating. But like Buffalo, known for their tailgating.
Yeah.
Chicago, I think, still is able
to
do
some. They're out of
Grand Bay. Mm-hmm. Or Green Bay. Sorry, not Grand Bay.
Yeah, Grand Bay's known for their tailgating.
But college tailgating. The University of Washington and the University of Tennessee both have a similar tradition, oddly enough, and that's people go to the stadium by boat.
Yeah.
And because Washington Stadium is right on the Puget Sound, and then Neyland Stadium is right on the Tennessee River.
Right.
And they will come and do what's called rafting, where the boats park next to each other and tie off to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So – and in Knoxville, they'll have up to 200 boats rafted together outside the stadium. And if you're in boat number 200 to get to land, you got 99 boats to cross over into, which is cool because each one you step into, they're like, you want a beer? You want a drink? Mm-hmm. Michael, you want a mudslide? How about a burger? Got hot dogs, got barbecue, and it's like that all the way till you get to shore. And that's the thing that makes college football special.
Oh, great. It makes it great.
That stuff will never go anywhere. Unless we allow it to.
Mm-hmm.
NIL won't kill that. Transfer portal won't kill that. Playoffs won't kill that. That will always be there.
Well, tailgating is half the experience.
It really is.
I know people who just go to set up a tent and cook all day long.
Well, we see it at the
Senior Bowl. They don't even have tickets to the game. Mm-hmm. They just go sit out there, but they got a big flat screen TV set up.
Yeah.
And almost every one of them does with the little generators. Yeah. And you just the smell of food in the air is just incredible.
Yeah. Southern Miss has really good tailgating, and the barbecue smell is outstanding. Vanderbilt does not have good tailgating because it's right in the middle of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
There's no. We tried to tailgate one time. We were at the end of a cul-de-sac, and I had a disposable grill in the trunk of my car.
I wonder if Miami, because Miami's scattered all over. Miami. University of Miami scattered all over Miami.
Well, the stadium's the only thing you'd have to worry about. But you're talking about Miami and Florida or the real Miami in Ohio?
Oh, Miami and Florida.
Oh, okay. The other one.
The university's like scattered.
Oklahoma, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've tailgated there before, before the Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole thing was fajitas, man. There was fajitas as far as the eye could see, chicken and beef, with hundreds of things to put in the tortilla.
Wow. That'd be great.
It was.
I hadn't been in a while. Need to get on it.
Now, the Cotton Bowl, when I went to the Red River Rivalry, there was no tailgating per se, but you got street vendors set up because you're at the state fair. Mm-hmm. So that's its whole own environment.
Right. 251-343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club call and text in line.
We need more words to that.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
I'm not today, because I did yesterday.
Yeah.
But if I was today, I would do it.
Well, thank you for being clear and concise with your feelings.
And that would be, it's a beautiful day to go outside and eat outside.
Yep.
And it would
Where would you do that, though?
Yeah, I would do it at Bob's, but I did that yesterday.
Bob's
Downtown Diner. On
Oh, yeah.
But I did it yesterday, so I won't be doing it today.
Yeah. You pre-gamed yesterday.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, pre, because yeah. I went to the brunch fest.
Yeah.
But, yes.
You pre-gamed the brunch fest.
Yeah, I pre-gamed the brunch
fest. You're like, I'm going to the brunch fest, so just give me one Bloody Mary and some
How'd
waffles.
You know?
Yeah. Because it's morning time.
They don't have waffles.
Yeah.
But anywho, but yes, Bob's Downtown Diner, corner Fat and Happy. Saw Tony yesterday. He even gave me a ride.
Yeah.
He even gave me a ride over there. So I needed it.
In the Bob's Mobile?
Yeah, in a six-seater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way,
six-seater.
Yes. And we made it look even sexier with us in it.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But if you want to have food delivered, they can do that. They deliver food downtown now.
Yeah.
In that sexy Bob
Sexy six-seater.
So anyway, yeah, and also, we want to thank Bob's, by the way.
How did you get into the brunch fest?
I had a friend who has some pull, and she has some tickets.
Yeah. And what pull would that be?
She has some extra passes for her participation in the brunch fest.
So she was representing her company?
She was representing
what
her company.
What company is that, Michael?
It was Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats.
Perfect for a brunch fest, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes. And I saw, I don't know how many people, but they gave us a little chip, like bingo chips that you mark your card with, and that's how we voted. And she got my vote because I got her
here.
But, yeah.
Let that be a lesson, folks. Mike can be bought.
Oh.
And at a low price.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not bought, but he can be leased or leased to own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want to thank Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Find them in your stores in Baldwin County now. And if you don't see them, ask for them by name.
Axe.
And Rouse's will actually, if you tell Rouse's you would like to have it in their store, they will actually order it for you. That's what I like about Rouse's. They'll actually go through the they know how to get a hold of people.
Yeah.
They know who to holler at. That's it, who to holler at. And we want to thank Butch Cassidy's over there on Florida Street. Saw Roy early this week. And saw him on TV, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw you.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You made a guest appearance on that TV bit they did.
I was whopper flopping.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he was flipping.
Yep.
Flipping. So it was. I loved it. It was a great series they did on Butch Cassidy's. Yeah. So. But get out there and support those three folks. So.
Folks.
Yes. So
too bad Poe Folks isn't around, and they could be a sponsor too.
I've worked at Poe Folks.
You know what my deal was with Poe Folks? We went there once or twice and never went back. It didn't matter what you ordered; every single thing tasted the same. I got fried shrimp. Mm-hmm. My mother got fried chicken livers, and with your eyes closed, you could not tell the difference.
Huh.
And we assumed they were just sitting back there with dough with food shape stamps and just cutting it out like that. It was, I mean, people used to rave and we're just like, this is not bad, but it's not good either. Just because it's all you can eat does not make it something to go.
When I was in high school, I worked there in the kitchen, and I was always on the flat grill because that's where we cooked the eggs at. On the flat, we didn't have a skillet like at IHOP.
Right.
And we used a flat grill, and I had to flip. See, the guy came into IHOP when I was in high school, and he said, "Man, you've got pretty eggs. You do a great job with your eggs. want a job? So I went to work at Pope Folks. And
you got poached.
And anyway, I didn't enjoy it, so I went back to IHOP.
Okay.
I was at the one at the Loop, okay, which has been 100 different things, yeah, since then.
Yeah.
But and Sammy Davis Jr. was an owner of that, one of the owners of that.
Yeah.
So, anywho.
Well, I got a wide trivia question for you, sir.
Yeah.
We're at the time of year now where people are having campfires, yeah, and bonfires, and sitting outside in the evening, a little bit Christmas in the air. What kind of wine do you recommend for a fireside chat?
Oh, listen. If I was going to do it, like the first little drop of leaf on the ground.
Mm-hmm. In 6 weeks.
I'd pull out some sparkling.
Mm.
I'd get some sparkling or Pinot Noir.
Ah.
Because it's kind of, some of them do have a little smoky tendency to them of taste and on the nose, a little smoke. I've actually smelt some wines I've had when you put your nose down in the glass and you smell, it smells like fried bacon. Believe it or not. Those are all things, characteristics that bring out life's experiences and things you've tasted before, you smelled before, like dirt. Growing up, when you're a kid, you get your face rubbed in the dirt a lot. And so when you understand what earthy is when you taste that in a glass of wine. But I would do sparkling, and I would do, what you got there?
64 best recipes for a cozy family meal.
There you go.
I live alone.
So,
put the number one there.
Chili, yeah, mac and cheese.
But yeah, you're a family of two, at least.
Yeah, three. I got two dogs.
Oh yeah. But yeah, a Pinot, a light. I would do it with a light Pinot Noir, like from the Russian River Valley, and or sparkling. And sparkling be California, or it could be from France, whether it be champagne or not. You know,
right?
Just sparkling. Oh, New Mexico makes wonderful sparkling.
Yeah,
wines.
What it was that. Starts with a G, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Grué.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that is a spectacular.
It is. They do a great job. And they own a winery in France, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they transported vines over from their original vineyard in the Champagne region.
Look at there.
Oh.
Apple cider margarita.
Yeah, that would be good fireside, too.
Mm-hmm.
What about cocktails? What would you think? Cinnamon. I got to think cinnamon is going to be a strong component in it, maybe.
Yeah.
But not pumpkin spice.
And it would be a bourbon or whiskey.
Yeah, right? Like that, like that apple cider would probably have a little cinnamon in it, get a good apple cider that you like, and drop a shot of Fireball in it. It's actually quite delicious because it's cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting it with the apple, and basically it tastes like an apple pie.
The first time I ever had Fireball, liquid slash bicycle shop, they were at the chili cook-off. And they had these big tea urns set up. And
Was it warm?
Huh?
Was it warm?
But the weather was wet and cold outside.
No, I mean, was the
But the tea... Fireball. The no, it was regular tea, but it had Fireball in it. It was sweet tea. There you go.
Ooh. So,
yeah, look at that.
Sparkling apple cider sangria.
Yeah.
And you also had a block up pop you there. No, thank you. You can turn that pumpkin pie martini back around. I am over the calling something that's a cocktail a martini thing.
Yeah.
Martinis are clear. They're either made with gin or vodka, and that's it.
Unless they're dirty. Unless they're dirty.
Right, but that's still an element of it.
Right, right.
Campfire mules.
You got to blow that one out before you drink it. You'll burn your nose hairs.
Yeah. I love a Moscow mule.
Yeah.
Which is what that was based on.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with Russia.
Yeah.
So you political people that boycott stuff, you're too stupid to be boycotting anything if you're boycotting a Moscow mule because you don't like Russia. It has nothing to do with Russia. Oh, well.
Yeah, a black Russian rock tip, yeah.
But a black Russian is just a white Russian without the milk.
All right. Yeah. But no, the Fireball in the sweet tea just blew me away. I said, wow, this is actually pretty dang good. But it was also kind of wet and cold outside, too.
an interesting thing about the history of sweet tea in America mm-hmm. was invented in South Carolina, and it was originally a cocktail.
Huh.
It was not iced tea as we know it. It was iced tea with some kind of liquor in it.
Huh.
That is how iced tea originally began in America, like I say, in the Carolinas, and then eventually evolved into a soft drink
mm-hmm.
that we know and love now as Alabama table wine.
Yeah. House wine of the South.
There you go. Yeah.
House wine of the South.
If Little Debbie were a drink.
There you go.
So you're going to have a bonfire soon?
Maybe. Yeah. Not a bonfire, but
you can light a match.
Light, set the neighborhood on fire.
No. Pumpkin spice, oh, white God. Russian. Yeah. I'd like to kick the person that came up with that in the shin.
Just take the pumpkin spice out. White Russian be okay.
Yeah, because white Russian's great. Now, I had a version of a...
Now, that looks interesting. Folks, yeah. If you don't know, we're looking at Steve's pulling up.
Yeah, he's on delish.com.
Yeah. And good drink. Hey, 251-343-0106 is Callahan's Irish Social Club text and call in line. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more drinking.
Okay.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, okay. So, what is your favorite type of cocktail?
Oh, whiskey on the rocks.
Okay.
But, but like the Mob Hatton at mm-hmm. Squid Ink.
Okay.
That's really, which That's has right. actual Squid Ink. I like most of Squid Ink's cocktails. Mm-hmm. I'm glad there's been a resurgence in cocktails because yeah. it is a creative way mm-hmm. to have a libation that isn't just, you know, a bunch of simple syrup, a bunch of fruit juice, and a yeah. bunch of clear liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, a daiquiri's fine, a margarita's fine,
mm-hmm.
but everything beyond that is just riffing on a daiquiri or margarita.
And you mentioned Squid Ink, and then right across the street from there,
Haberdasher.
Yeah. Haberdasher. And then down at the other end, you got Post.
Yeah, and I haven't been to Post yet.
Great cocktail selection. Very knowledgeable young staff there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and particularly the Haberdasher with their mixologist there.
Right.
And man, I tell you, when I get in the mood and I want to do that, those are the three places I would go to. If there are any others, I really don't know.
Yeah. Now, a few years ago, as you know, I went to Doe's Eat Place, the one in Biloxi,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at the cocktail menu. I was going to get a glass of really expensive scotch, but I looked at the cocktail menu, and I remembered the words of Anthony Bourdain, who was talking about seizing life and, mm-hmm. you know, get the filet mignon.
Yeah.
You know, get the lobster. And he said, get the Negroni. And they had a Negroni on the menu, so I got the Negroni, which I think is a classic cocktail that's similar to a martini, but it had some bubbles and stuff in it. It was terrific.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he said, get the Negroni, and I'm glad I got the Negroni.
What'd you compare that to?
A Negroni. I don't know. It's 2 years now, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll look up and see exactly what a Negroni is. But.
I've kind of turned into a tequila guy,
mm-hmm.
and I can't stand the everyday stuff that people know and mm-hmm. go crazy over over marketed. I want the good stuff, and I savor it slowly. I don't chug it.
Just like you do whiskey.
Yeah, I can get some over ice and then sip on it for an hour. You know. Go ahead.
Here is the Negroni. It's a very simple recipe. Sweet vermouth, the red one,
mm-hmm.
gin, and Campari, equal parts of each.
Okay.
So that is a Negroni, and it was absolutely delicious.
So 12 ounces of one.
Yeah. Well, if you're making a double. And,
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
It was very good. Went well with the steak, which is probably why they had it on the menu at a steakhouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I hopefully one day will get up to Greenville, Evergreen, Mississippi. Greenville, Mississippi.
Yeah, it's green.
And
go to the original Toes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to make that trip too.
Folks, the Mississippi Delta is just fabulous. And now
historically
and
it's kind of boring to look at.
They got the Blues Trail.
Yeah.
And they got the Tamale Trail.
Yeah.
And
a lot of good barbecue.
I have a friend, her and her husband, significant other, they started up there around Memphis, and I think they took like 2 weeks doing the Blues Trail until they got to Clarksville. But they worked their way on down. But the restaurants they went to, it's just – there's so many restaurants up there. Because I don't know if they got the Doe's. I didn't see anything post on it. Interesting history about Doe's, and we'll talk about it one day.
Yeah.
But
well, we have talked about it too.
Huh?
What is that?
Doe's is like a house.
Yeah, it was like a grocery store with a kitchen in the back.
Oh, okay.
And they started frying steaks in iron skillets on the stovetop.
Okay.
And they have a number of them now, like the one in Biloxi, but it doesn't look like a kitchen in the back of a grocery store. It's a high-end steak restaurant.
I
don't know if that was a drink or if it was.
No, Doe's
Eats. Called Doe's Eat Place.
Yeah. And it's James Beard Award winner.
I gotcha.
And it's voted best steak in America a couple times. And they're also known for their butterfly fried shrimp.
And these are in the Delta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, there's one in Biloxi at Margaritaville.
Ah.
Which is my favorite resort because there's no casino.
Yet.
Are they going to add one?
They're working on it.
Yeah, I think the whole point of that was to not have a casino, to be a family-friendly option. They have the largest arcade I've ever seen in my life. Two floors, each one of them about the size of a football field.
Wow.
Just incredible. Yeah. I didn't play anything because there were a lot of kids, and I didn't want to get in their way. And I was there to eat steak, drink alcohol, and go to sleep.
Knock some kids over.
Yeah. He's the uncle that you know at the football game. Yeah,
picking a fight with a referee,
burying a few kids and wallering in the ball, plastic balls.
Right.
Skeet.
Hey kids, I tossed a snake in there. Y'all have fun.
All I can think is the movie Dodgeball, whatever that was.
If you can dodge a monkey wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Oh, man.
I'd love to. I wonder if they got adult dodgeball somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be probably fun. Since that movie, anyway.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I was watching a Psalm show, it's a biography show about these people trying to get their sommelier and their master sommelier. And they were describing noses and aromas and taste and scents and things of wine. And they were sitting around a table just talking, and they said, "Have you ever smelt your old aunt's closet or or
mothballs?"
Right, mothballs
and
cedar chips.
And somebody said, "Water hose is like cutting a water hose with a blade, and that scent." And I'm thinking, who sits around? But then one of them said, "It's like that smell when that dodgeball hits you in the face. You can smell that rubber." And a lot of Italian wine has a tarry asphalt scent and taste to it.
Hmm.
And then the most popular one, it took me a year and a half to find this one out, Pinotage from South Africa. We were saying, what is that taste? What is that flavor? A doctor can nail it, or a nurse can nail it. It's Band-Aid.
Oh, wow.
It smells just like the old Johnson & Johnson Band-Aid when you're a kid and you're pulling it off with your teeth, trying to take it off your skin.
The adhesive, yeah.
Yeah, and it's that adhesive, rubbery adhesive smell and taste. And when I was doing courses and classes on wine, I'd save that one for last.
Right.
And then when we got to it, I said, all right, who knows what this flavor is? And then when I said Band-Aid, they go, oh, my God, that's it. And then some would continue to drink it. Maybe the adhesive
was made in the same area. Just a thought. I mean, we don't think about, gum trees, things like that. You know, those things, they have a regionality.
And this is going to be silly, but I've been bucked off a horse. And when I was coming down, I face planted into the saddle.
Oh.
And the saddle, you could tell, been ridden, you know, people have been riding, it's a little dusty, and it was, you know, all kind of odors on it. And when my face hit it, I could still, when I taste certain wines, I can smell that and taste that experience. Sometimes it's about life's experience.
Wow, look at that. It's 11:40. I'm just kidding.
So let's take a moment here, get a little serious.
Mm-hmm.
And we just recently had Hurricane Helene move through the panhandle of Florida, up through Georgia. Is doing a lot of devastation in East Tennessee, the Pigeon Forge area, Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know the Smoky Mountains are a rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't think of that because they think of rainforest, they think tropical. Well, that's a tropical rainforest.
Yeah.
The Appalachians are a mountainous rainforest. So this much rain coming in there, it's really, I've seen some video of towns that have just been completely washed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stony Creek.
One of the best bacons in the world comes from that area, Benton Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly hoping that the Benton's bacon is okay.
Yeah.
That was the stuff we used to get at Little House Midtown that FedEx would deliver.
Hmm.
We couldn't get it from a distributor. And as soon as the box came into the building, the entire restaurant smelled like a barbecue place. Just the most unbelievable bacon. That's what Donald Link uses at Cochon.
Oh, really?
In New Orleans. Okay. Is Benton's bacon.
Wow.
And it is just fabulous. So I'm hoping everyone in that area is okay and can recover and everything. I know there was some death involved with this one, and that's always sad. But
yeah,
I hope those that were left behind can rebuild quickly and get back in.
On my way here, I saw those big trucks that's got the big trailer in the back, and then they're pulling another one. Mm-hmm. They're deep and they're wide. Yeah. They're big. There was two of them headed that way.
Yeah. So the reason I bring it up is if you want to donate to help out with the recovery effort, it may make some people upset, but do not put that money with the Red Cross. Their help is usually not that great compared to how much money they bring in. Look for smaller groups, and what I would like to recommend is Operation Barbecue Relief.
Yeah.
They go all over the country to disasters like this. They are world-class championship barbecuers who donate their product and their time to feed people incredible barbecue at one of the worst times of their life.
Absolutely.
And I'll try and get a link up later on our Facebook page, but just type in Operation Barbecue Relief. They're not hard to find.
And another thing, too, do some research on who you donate your money to.
If you've got a local church that's putting together a thing, that's a great way to do
that. From the Darren food Katrina, banks.
I was in Florida at Crestview, and local churches in Crestview were taking donations and trucking them to Mississippi to help out with the recovery there.
And I tell you what people don't think about is socks.
Mm-hmm.
Just socks. Warm socks.
Dry, clean
dry, socks. Clean socks.
But not blankets, which my father had told me after Katrina, or not Katrina, Camille, that was what the Red Cross brought to August in Biloxi, Mississippi, was blankets.
So
now there were 5,000 wool blankets sitting around soaking up water and mud and stuff.
By the way, that is operationalbbqrelief.org.
There you go. It's a .org. Operation Barbecue Relief. They were at World Food Championships just educating people to what they do, and we interviewed them there. So that would be my suggestion.
251-343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club call and text in line. When we come back, we're going to carry on some more of this conversation.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey. We want to thank a few people. We want to thank Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy, which is North Jackson and St. Francis.
They will tote you some grub.
They'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
And I asked Tony, I said, how about if you come pick, will you come pick me up one morning, take me there for breakfast, and take me back home? He said, sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, privileges of living downtown. And we want to thank Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Ask for it by name. If your store doesn't have it, ask for it. They'll get it for you. Yep.
Or change stores.
Or change. There's that.
Yep.
And then we want to thank Butch Cassidy's over there on Florida Street in the heart of Flo Shell. Mayor Roy Sewer.
Yep.
The mayor of Flo Shell. So anyway, going back to what we were saying.
Which thing?
Booze? Making donations.
Making
a donation. Do your research and make sure. See, I'm hesitant. Even these people out on the corner, I got a feeling we're going to be popping up with a little yellow and orange vest on, standing on the corners, making up stuff. You know,
I don't ever donate to any of those. And the reason for that is no one should be standing at a street corner taking donations for anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not safe. And it's illegal in most of the city of Mobile.
Well, you can get a permit.
The smaller towns, yeah.
You can get a permit, but used to, I would support the donuts.
Yeah.
People selling donuts, I would do that. And in high school.
It was less about the charity and more about the donuts.
So. And the high school kids.
Do a car wash.
And boys go, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Everybody does that.
But, I tell you what we used to do at Mary G. Had a man. All we knew was Mr. Hutch Hutchinson, and he would volunteer his time. There was a lodge, F&AM, you know, something, mm-hmm. one of those,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Right around the corner from Mary Montgomery, and they had a huge pit in the back,
mm-hmm.
and he would barbecue chicken, half chickens, whole chickens. And I went up one night, and we stayed out the whole night, and about every hour, they're on these big, they look like a wire mesh table.
Yeah.
And they're about the size of a folding table. They'd be covered with chicken over the coals. And then you had one extra of those wire mesh things. And you would put it on the top of mm-hmm. one, roll it over. Then the one you just got on top, you'd flip it to the next one and go all the way down this pit. And Mr. Putch would do that for the band. He'd do it for the football team, ROTC, any organization that needed to raise money. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hutch would volunteer his time. And I think his kids graduated like from the very first class at Mary Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was 20 years later, he's still volunteering. His kids are off other parts of the world doing great things. And Mary Montgomery actually has a award that they give out that's called the Hutch Award, that is for people who are civic-minded and give back to their community.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you right now, that's some of the best barbecue chicken.
I always loved that kind of chicken. I always loved when we would do it, Boy Scout Troops 28 over St. Luke's. We'd get there. Sometimes some of those barbecues start at night and stay there all night, you know, fanning the flames to keep the
I was one of the people that worked overnight.
And yeah.
My shift was done at 6 a.m.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do it now.
Yeah.
They were fun.
About 4 or 5 o'clock, everybody went and got in their cars and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bound to determine I was making it.
Well, they kept us hydrated.
Well, we were high school kids.
Well, I was an adult.
Yeah, we were hydrated with water. And but, yeah, I remember Mr. Hutch's barbecue. And then you'd pick it up at Mary Montgomery's cafeteria, and there'd be baked beans, a potato salad that – some ladies associated
mm-hmm.
Would put together for
it. See, I love barbecue like that.
Yep.
And then they mop the barbecue sauce on, and then mm-hmm. they adhere it to the chicken by keeping it over the heat.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go to a barbecue place and order that.
Right.
But I would do that, and I love it. Mm-hmm. Love the flavors. I love it caramelizing onto the chicken and hear it. I love that, but I wouldn't dare go to a barbecue place and order it that way.
Yeah. Have you ever had any Famous Dave's barbecue?
I don't think so.
Owned out of the Midwest, one of the largest barbecue chains in the country. I got to try some in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Famous Dave's, they put just the thinnest glaze mm-hmm. of barbecue on their ribs.
Really?
Of sauce. Mm-hmm. Put it back on the smoker so it's not slathered, but it's crispy when you bite into it. Perfectly done. Yeah.
All right, you say that, and and Roy was talking on the other day about the mistake wings at Mr. Cassidy's, and that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, you're getting caramelization from the natural sugars that are in the butter and the hot sauce, and when you put them back in the fryer, it burns off the excess water, essentially, and you're left with the sugars that caramelize to the outside.
I had some the other day. Really? I was at Butch Cassidy, and I ordered the mistake wings. Yeah. And it is on the menu now, folks. But for the longest time, you had to know about it. If you knew, you knew.
Yeah,
and
but
you
then
would order them.
Some jack wagon on the radio kept blasting about it every week, going, oh, don't tell Roy I told you. Roy hates it when I talk about it.
Well, it's on the menu now, so you can order away. And they are a dollar extra, something like that.
Sure. I don't handle the money.
It's extra effort, you know. You gotta fry them, you gotta dip them, and then you gotta fry them again.
And it burns that oil up faster, too, so he's gotta replace the oil more.
Yeah.
The first time I ever had it was at Orleans. Here he comes again with more cocktails. Was
butter beer.
The Orleans Cafe that was on Schillinger's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, this is really good.
Oh, I remember that place.
Yeah. And there was an Orleans. One was Orleans Cafe, and the other one was Orleans something or else. But the one on University was the original. The one on Schillinger's was copying them.
Oh.
And they were doing terrible food. And people thought it was the same place. So the guy that owned Orleans Cafe on Airport bought the other one just so they wouldn't hurt his business at the original. He had to buy them out and fix the food. And I went to it after he had fixed the food. But the other people had totally ripped off his entire menu, his logo, the colors, everything. So people thought it was the same restaurant.
Huh.
So he made it the same restaurant.
There you go.
And I bet the buyout was something like, well, I could give you money for it now, or I could take you to court.
One of the two.
Yeah. So I think they took the money and ran.
I would.
Yeah.
First of all, I wouldn't open a place like that.
Why?
Drunken peanut butter cups.
Why?
I would try one.
Yeah. just wow. Peanut butter
and
mudslide.
I could try anything once.
You thought you had a headache this morning?
I didn't have I was just tired. Sleep deprived.
Yeah.
I was too excited to go to bed last night.
Slurp deprived.
Too excited to go to bed.
Yeah.
I was good last night.
Okay.
Just good last night.
Yeah.
I
kicked out a new short on Delta Safari.
Okay.
That premiered this morning. It was talking about the anniversary of the Sunset Limited.
Yes.
Because that was just last week, 31 years since that accident happened. So I did a little thing and put it on Delta Safari this morning. It's a short, so it's 1 minute long. But my best friend worked for Chickasaw Police. And when you work at Chickasaw, your actual job title is a safety officer. You're a police officer, and with that comes mandatory membership as a volunteer fireman. So you're trained for both. So a public safety officer, that's what they call it. So he was out there in the middle of the night with the recovery. And to this day, it's the only part of his tenure as a police officer he doesn't like to talk about.
Yeah, I can imagine. It was really bad.
And
I remember
maintains
it well.
He will never ride a train.
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. And tip your servers well, and servers earn your tip. And
slurp local, too.
And slurp local, yeah. You can go to the Slurp Society then. And if nothing else, provolone.
Provolone.